Welcome to the Brain Tumor Podcast with Dr. David Walker. The aim of this podcast is to educate and inform. The information in this podcast is general in nature and is not a substitute for medical advice from your own doctors.
In today's episode, I really wanted to give a summary of the treatment schedule for a patient with a glioma, because there is a typical pattern, which is generally the same for people with particularly high-grade gliomas, but in many cases, people with low-grade gliomas. And I'm talking about adults in particular here. So I wanted to talk about the journey, describe the process that patients go through from the time of surgery or before surgery, through surgery, their pathway after surgery in the days that lead to the diagnosis being confirmed, and then the start of adjuvant treatment or the treatment that is in addition to surgical treatment. So let's say a patient has a high-grade or malignant glioma, and the same, as I said, can apply to many types of many cases of low-grade glioma. They would then go as a first step for surgical resection. That surgical resection is very commonly, almost always in my institution and most institutions around the Western world, done with stereotactic guidance so that we use a navigation system to help us plan the surgery and plan and help us guide the resection of the tumor intraoperatively. That surgery usually takes 1 or 2 hours to do, something like that, depends on the situation. And postoperatively, the patient will often go to intensive care. They may stay in hospital for several days recovering, and hopefully they won't have suffered any ill effects from having had the operation. Let's assume that they don't, and they're feeling good after surgery, but it usually takes a couple of days for the pathologist to get the answer to the clinicians, to the surgeons, about what the diagnosis is, what the actual grade of the tumor is. And so the final pathological diagnosis may take several days. So let's say then 2 to 3 days after the resection, the answer's back. The pathology report is with the hands of the surgeon or the surgical team, and then they have a discussion with the patient and their family about the nature of the diagnosis and the implications. The news of the malignant glioma is relayed, and then the next step is to plan for adjuvant treatment. Most often, particularly in large centres, the case is discussed at a joint meeting, so-called MDT, a multidisciplinary team meeting, where there are pathologists present with the surgeon or the surgical team and together with radiation oncologists and medical oncologists. The diagnosis is confirmed and a plan of action or a subsequent treatment is discussed and decided upon. In the usual course of events, a combined treatment of radiation and chemotherapy is thought best. So the patient is then referred to the radiation and medical oncology teams, and the next step after those specialists meet the patient and their family to talk over what's ahead of them is to plan for the radiation treatment. Radiation is these days a highly technological undertaking and does require special scans and a planning process to be undertaken before the radiation treatment generally starts. All right, so that's done. And then generally 2 to 3 weeks after the initial surgery, that radiation commences. The first day of radiation, chemotherapy in the form of a tablet drug called temozolomide is started at the same time. Radiation is delivered in a so-called fractionated method so that there are small doses given every day. That protocol is usually a Monday to Friday treatment, and that goes for 5 weeks, so 25 treatments. And I'm going to have a whole episode on radiation therapy. But every day, not just on Monday to Friday, but 7 days a week throughout that time of the 5 weeks, the low-dose tablet form of chemotherapy is also given. So this is so-called concurrent therapy, and I've mentioned this before, I believe, and it's the so-called Stupp protocol. Now, that treatment regime has been established as the standard of care because the combination of chemotherapy and radiation therapy was shown in a randomized trial to provide better results than just radiation therapy alone. So, patient will go through this 5 to 6 weeks or so of post-operative or post-surgical radiation and chemotherapy. What happens next? Well, they get a month off. Oh, by the way, I should say that this is all delivered as an outpatient. The person does not have to be in hospital, so they just come and go. And throughout that time, they're getting some regular blood tests just to make sure that they're not reacting badly to the chemotherapy. So the 5 weeks of combined chemotherapy and radiation therapy is finished, they get a month off. And after that month, then they start their so-called adjuvant or monthly higher dose temozolomide chemotherapy. So again, I'll have a full episode on the chemotherapy itself, but basically that chemotherapy goes every month, usually for a minimum of 6 months if the patient can tolerate it. And that's for 5 days every 4 weeks or every month. Not particularly any difference there, but those doses are higher than the daily doses that they were getting throughout the radiation treatment. So it's a more toxic treatment. Side effects are higher or more prevalent. So they get a rest for 3 weeks and then they start the same process again, or 4 weeks basically, really. So between the 5 days of finishing the chemotherapy and then 4 weeks after that, they start the next round of chemotherapy. So that goes for a minimum of 6 months, and usually it's well tolerated, and a lot of medical oncologists will keep the patient on for longer than the minimum of 6 months. But the 6 months, strictly speaking, is the Stupp protocol. That's the basic treatment for a malignant glioma, and quite often applies for many cases of low-grade glioma as well. Now, there are variations to that theme. Firstly, patient may not have resection, but they may just have biopsy, and then go on to the standard treatment of combined radiation and chemotherapy, and then 6 months of adjuvant or monthly chemotherapy. That's the case if the tumor itself is not resectable, or if it's too dangerous to resect, or there's no advantage to resect it. There may also be variations if the patient is not well enough to have a resection. If they're too old or too frail, or their clinical condition is so poor, then going through a major operation is not in their interests. If that's the case, often the adjuvant treatment, the radiation and the chemotherapy protocols are shortened, sometimes just a 2 week burst, and that gives them some benefit, but doesn't put them through the rigors of a long 5 to 6 week program of radiation therapy and then the chemotherapy I've described. So there are variations. Not only that, sometimes, particularly the chemotherapy is not well tolerated, and some people, a minority thankfully, do get such bad reactions that it's usually the blood counts drop significantly, so that they have to be taken off the chemotherapy, or the dose is significantly reduced. So that may happen during radiation, or it may happen after just a couple of months of the adjuvant or monthly temozolomide chemotherapy. So there are variations. And not only that, with some low-grade gliomas I talked about before, particularly the oligodendrogliomas, temozolomide may not be the best chemotherapy agent to use, and there may be better or more effective chemotherapy, particularly the so-called PCV, combined chemotherapy intravenous agents. So that's, again, another topic for another episode, and I'll go into that in detail at that point. But overall, I just wanted to summarize the basic program or treatment protocol that applies to a great majority of patients with both malignant gliomas and certainly a large percentage of people with low-grade gliomas. That's about it all I wanted to say this for this episode. It really just gives you an outline of what's involved, the standard of treatment is. Throughout this time, particularly after about a month of completing radiation therapy, there are follow-ups with all the different specialists, including the surgeon, and repeat MRI scans or progress MRI scans are done throughout that time. Usually not more than every 2 months. Sometimes, most of the time in my practice, it's every 3 months, depending on the clinical need. So there we have it, a summary of the main features of treatment that adult patients go through for treatment of their gliomas.
Thanks for listening to the Brain Tumor Podcast with Dr. David Walker. Stay tuned for more episodes, and don't forget to subscribe on your favourite podcast platform. The information in this podcast is general in nature and is not a substitute for the medical advice you get from your own doctors. Dr. David Walker is not able to provide specific information or advice related to your condition or any individual's condition in this podcast. But if you do have suggestions or feedback, send David an email to Professor David Walker at brisbrain.com.au.